Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry. Those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. The modern day shale revolution. That's what's happening, folks. It's going on right now, and history is happening right before our eyes. It is the Shale Revolution, and this is Building the Bakken Radio. Okay, here's who we got lined up for you today. Our weekly Davis Refinery update, that first greenfield refinery to be built in the United States in the last 50 years, the cleanest refinery on the planet it is being billed as. Well, we check in with the state of North Dakota and the health department where the air quality permit is involved to find out how green and how environmentally clean this is going to be. Right now, they just concluded their public comment period, and although they got 11,000 emails talking about this new refinery, what we find out is that really the majority of them, like 97%, if not 98%, or duplicates. So it smells a little political out there. And so we're going to talk with Terry O'Claire with the North Dakota Health Department to get to the bottom of this. It's our little bit of a Mythbusters section here on Building the Bakken Radio. Okay, then we got a great interview for you. Not only do we get a talk with one of the great minds in the industry, Joe Dancy, Executive Director for the Oil and Gas Natural Resources Energy Center for the University of Oklahoma, but he's down at NAEP as they're in their 25th year. They have 13,000 people from the industry down there. It is the largest conference for the oil and gas industry. Joe Dancy gives us a boots on the ground live update, and we kind of integrate in some of the other industry talk with that excellent conversation. Joe Dancy coming up here in just a moment. And then our social media segment, where we talk about events, jobs, maybe even a Mythbusters section or two. The social media segment this week features the API Gumbo Cookoff, the 21st annual API Gumbo Cookoff. We talk with Tiffany Steiner and Christy Baumgartner, they're representing API Dickinson, about all the information involved with the Gumbo Cookoff, from sponsors to raffles to the charitable destinations. So stick around for the social media segment coming up a little bit later on in the program. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Terry O'Claire, Director for the North Dakota Department of Health, gives us an update on the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota.
Yeah, we're still looking at them, and we received roughly 11,000 emails. All of them were exactly the same, with the exception of maybe 500 of them. And many of those were also duplicate emails received from the same person that they'd sent a number of times. That being said, we recognize there people are both for and against the facility out there, but nevertheless, we're going to be looking through them and responding to those emails. Now, the ones that are going to obviously all the same will have one response for all of those emails, but it's still, you know, takes some effort on our part to read through it and to make sure that we address their concerns.
On some of these emails, you mentioned that they're coming in a batch form or something like that.
One at a time.
And we
as of today, I believe that we have them on our website. The staff is going to work out a way to to put them all on our website so the public as well as media could review them if they wish to. So they should be on our website.
Okay. I should rephrase it. I'm somewhat familiar with a lot of these political activism sites and political action sites, to where they'll give you a form letter, and then they'll even give you either the senator or the legislature email address. And some of them even go a step further, where it's just even like boxes you fill in, and then it just goes directly to the specific spot. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that where the bulk of these emails are coming from? Or is there, you know, you mentioned they came in separately, but they all said the same thing. So, of course, I'm thinking form letter, template letter, political action type of a thing. I don't know if you know any of that information, but is my speculation at all been discussed or thought about or anything like that?
You might be on topic there, Jason. I don't know how they're generated, whether there's a political action group out there or not, but it's obvious that, you know, they were that there was probably one author that circulated, and then people you know, sent it in themselves. So, you know, even though they didn't write it themselves, they certainly have an opinion on that, and we'll review that just like we do the rest of them.
How about when it comes to, you mentioned that I think 500 were separate or something along those lines, you know, give or take. But when we're talking about the air quality permit, were these letters or were these comments, were they affiliated with that, or did they go outside of it? I know you mentioned the location in our previous interview, that sort of thing. How much of the 11,000 or whatever the number is were on point with the air quality?
Well, most of them were. You know, we don't like the location. What we're looking for in our public comment is if there's any, you know, technical issues, if people had actually looked at the permit. And I should note that we also have a tracking mechanism to see how many people looked at the draft permit that we had online. And there was only about 200 clicks on that. So at least roughly 200 people at least looked at the permit. And we were hoping to get, like I said, either more technical or legal comments as to, you know, is there some area that we should focus on? Is there some area that we may have made a mistake in our analysis? And now we did get some comments, written comments from EPA as well as the National Park Service that we'll be looking at very carefully. I think I noted to you earlier in the week that we'd worked with EPA and the Park Service throughout our entire review process and gave them a copy of the application and had meetings and things with them, or I should say conference calls, you know, to get their input on it. They provided comments during the comment period, too, and we'll take a hard look at those, and there's going to be perhaps some changes that we'll incorporate into our draft permit based on those comments.
We're looking at a lot of the emails were duplicates. There were some comments that you guys are looking at, and it'll take a few months for it to go. But for me, that sticker shock of 11,000 emails, that's where I got the soap opera from. I was like, whoa, geez, holy smokes. That took me back, because the way it was kind of projected, or the way that it was framed a little bit, I kind of, you know, and I talked to you earlier in the week, and you made, you know, your body, your tone, your body language, whatever you want to call it, didn't seem like it was like how I guess, digested it through some of the other media outlets, if that makes sense. But more or less, I just haven't seen much surprises from my end. I think a lot of this stuff is going as expected, including probably a lot of these comments. Are you seeing anything from your side? I know it's a refinery, it's new. But any of these big major red flags up to at this point from the air quality side?
The primary concern that we're hearing from citizenry and others really is the location. They're concerned how close it is to the park. And I think I noted to you earlier, you know, the health department doesn't have jurisdiction on the location. You know, that's a local zoning matter. So we don't, you know, even if the public wanted us to tell them to move it someplace else, that's not under our jurisdiction. We can't take the application as we get it. It's up to the company to pick the site and work with the local zoning people to see if they agree with it. But it's not the health department that can decide where it should be located. That being said, the dispersion modeling we do, you know, the closer it is to the park, maybe the more impact it has. But the emissions from the facility are so low that even through our dispersion modeling, it was less than the significant impact levels at the Class 1 area.
To listen to the full-length interview with Terry O'Claire with the North Dakota Department of Health, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Watch it shine so bright underneath the stage lights. You've been up all night driving home and pouring your whole midnight.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Joe Dancy, Executive Director for the Oil and Gas Natural Resources and Energy Center at the University of Oklahoma. It's in, I think it's 25th year, and they're kind of having a nice little celebration down there. And we're going to have Mr. Dancy on to talk about the mood a little bit, maybe what some people are talking about, and maybe even get into a specific or two. So let's start with the 5,000-foot view, if you will. What's the general vibe and mood down at NAEP this year in Houston?
I tell you, Jay, it's much more positive than it has been last year and even the year before. And part of that is obviously oil prices are much more robust, and quite frankly, you know, at least in our opinion or my opinion, I think they're going to go higher, much higher than the $63 to $65 they've been trading at here lately. So everybody seems, and the mood across the registrants and the exhibitors is very positive, and I think you can even see that. I've been told, and this is sort of unofficial numbers, they've had 13,000 people register this year. Last year they had 9,000, so it just goes to show you, number one, there's more interest, and when you walk around and talk to people, and even everything from the people, you know, running title to the geologist, they have a few people here that are, you know, selling fossilized artwork for $4,000 or $5,000, and I sort of ask them, as a general rule, you think people are a little more optimistic this year, you know, when you're buying a $5,000 piece of fossilized art, and they said, oh, there's no question, this year has been the best year in 2 or 3 years for them, for these interests, and as well as, again, the geologists seem to say, and the companies that are turning these deals, and the financiers seem to say that, you know, things are looking up, and I agree 100%. This is going to be 2018 is going to be a very, very good year for the oil industry and also for the Bakken.
What are you hearing in terms of cost savings? I'll give you a couple examples. Frac sand, of course, that's probably the most nationwide known example of how oil and gas companies were saving some money. I just interviewed a guy earlier today on the environmental side of things, Tidwell Industries. He was talking about how
They're saving a lot of man hours because of their innovative proprietary product, that sort of thing. What are you hearing in terms of the efficiency side of things, how people are saving money? Is it through innovation, wireless for things? Is it less man hours, I guess? Are people saving money?
Well, actually, you talk to these people that are, you know, actually involved with some of the technology, and you know, we continue to make technological improvements, but I did ask around this morning about service costs, because as you know, as industry recovers, we have more rigs being put back in the service, and to get people and to get equipment, you know, has been stacked, you got to refurbish it to make it available. And they said things are being more efficient, but that's being offset by the fact that you got to pay more money for services. And especially frac crews, they were telling me, at least a couple people, and these were in the Permian Basin, and they said, you know, it's tough to get frac crews in the Permian Basin that you feel comfortable with, and when you do, you generally, you know, you try to get them tied up so they'll frac a number of your wells and, you know, are not, you're not waiting unduly long for that. But past that, the service costs, though, I said, well, are the jumps shocking as far as the, and they said, no, it's just a gradual inflation of cost, which is actually, it's very good, because service companies, as you probably know, they took a brunt when people stopped drilling. A lot of service companies are just hanging on, and it's nice to see, hopefully now they're making a little better margin, and we're attracting, or at least can attract some people back into the business as far as just employees.
Well, that's good news. Yeah, this contraction period was getting a little long in the tooth. It's about time for us to expand our portfolios a little bit, and it'd be nice to, for the service companies to make a little money, because it is. It's a give and take. It's a sacrifice and a give back type thing, and the oil and gas industry is usually pretty good about that, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be going forward. What are you hearing when it comes to water? Another conversation I had last week was with a gentleman, and he brought up a good point. You know, really, at the end of the day, especially on the western side of things, you can't have a conversation and not boil it down to water. And so are people having sourcing issues, disposing issues? Talk to me a little bit about the world of water in the oil and gas world right now down at NAEP.
Actually, that's a very hot topic that you just hit on. And of course, every area is a little bit different. Of course, North Dakota, the Permian Basin, even in Oklahoma, I mean, we're not water rich as far as having a bunch of resources that are readily available in many cases. And I know at least the Permian Basin, some of the people I talked to this morning, they said that the amount of water being used, especially on the Permian Basin and in the Eagle Ford, has increased substantially in the last 3 years. Part of it's because the well bores are longer, but part of it is they're sticking in much more frac sand, and they need much more fluid to jam that stuff in there. And so water is a concern. And going forward, I mean, apparently, we haven't had people not being able to complete a frac or frac their wells yet, but they say going forward, as the rig count continues to increase and as we use more and more water, it's a concern, and it's a concern for both the companies as well as obviously depending on where it's being sourced from. It's a concern of your surface owner and your agricultural sector. So I did talk, and it's been a couple of years ago now, with your North Dakota Agricultural Commissioner, and they were actually doing a study or proposing a study to try to see if we could get some of the produced water, the saline water that comes out with oil and gas, and actually have it recycled and being able to be used efficiently for agricultural purposes. The problem is the technology is so darn expensive still. And it's still in the infancy, but that is a concern. And the regulators are thinking about it. The companies are thinking about it. If I could figure out a business angle here, how to source and sell water, that might be more valuable than oil when all is said and done. But we'll see. It's a problem that's you know, people are looking at and they're concerned about. So nobody seems to have a solution, Jason. So it's interesting to hear them talk. And from a legal standpoint, and being a lawyer and an engineer, it creates some really interesting issues.
Yeah, I just talked to the health department's water director last week, Division of Water, and he said that their studies up in the Bakken were looking at 20 times the amount of water is going to be needed than what they originally anticipated. So what you were talking about down in the Permian, what you're talking about down in the Eagle Ford, is matching up with what they're finding out in the Bakken too. To me, this sounds like it's a little bit industry-wide that they're finding out, for one, they either need more water, or they're doing production much faster than what they thought they could do before. But it does bring up an interesting thing to where water, you know, that's a tough issue to really have a civilized conversation, because it becomes very passionate. There becomes a lot of emotion involved with water, you know, life of water, that sort of thing. Hold that thought, Mr. Joe Dancy. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Joe Dancy, Executive Director for the Oil and Gas Natural Resources and Energy Center at the University of Oklahoma College of Law. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio Herd on the Crude Life Media Network.
Dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a butcher block, but she was too wrapped up strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to me. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. Some folks dine at the table.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio Herd and the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host. Up next, we continue our conversation with Joe Dancy, Executive Director with the Oil and Gas Natural Resources and Energy Center for the University of Oklahoma, as he gives us a live update from NAEP, the largest expo for the industry in the United States. It sounds to me like water solutions are going to be a big, hot industry that somebody could make some money over the next decade. Anything else kind of percolating to the top? Any industry that you're hearing more and more about that some people listening right now might get their entrepreneurial innovation engines going?
Well, not really. I could think of. I did ask around and say, you know, gee, is there, you know, what are the hottest areas now if you're selling a prospect? And of course, it all depends on the company and where they're at and their leasehold. But it seems to be still the Permian is, you know, sort of the movie star. And next is the Scoop and Stack, which obviously being from University of Oklahoma, that's positive for us from an economic standpoint. And the technology, as you mentioned earlier, Jason, as everything evolves, we're finding that, you know, with these wells, as we become more efficient, we're able to extract more from different formations. So they'll be drilling the Permian and the Scoop and Stack for quite some time, as well as the Bakken. And I guess let me add this in for the Bakken folks. And it is a more generally, because for a number of reasons, a little more expensive to produce up there. But as oil prices go up, the Bakken companies become much, much more valuable. And so if you're going to invest in, as oil goes upward, and I actually just increased our estimates for 2018 West Texas Intermediate average price from $67 to $72 a barrel for a number of reasons, the Bakken is going to be economically very attractive because the higher cost basins, you essentially go from, you know, breaking even to be becoming profitable. And when you're in the Permian, it's a little lower cost, and it's just sort of incremental profit. And this is the way the economics work. It's much more attractive. So if I was a speculator and I thought oil prices is going to where I think it's going to go, which $72 a barrel is my call, I think Goldman Sachs even had a higher number, believe it or not. You know, some of these Bakken companies that have been, and a lot of the companies have been beat up badly, the producers, you know, the Bakken companies might be worth speculating on because the reserves are there. And the question is, you know, economically, can you produce them? And yeah, you get where we're at now and move up above 70. And I think the answer is, yeah, you can produce them and make some money. So
I interviewed Siren Nadeau from Tocqueville Asset Management a few weeks ago about different plays that were good from an investor standpoint. And you bring up the investment standpoint. And he kind of, you know, we talked about the Bakken a little bit, and he brought the Permian right away. He said, Permian, that's number one. I think he said 80% of the shale play activity is going to come out of the Permian over the next decade. That was quite a statement, 80%. I didn't even double check on it. It was just like, oh, well, the Permian's going to be a hot place. Got it. But my argument with the Bakken is that even when it was $30 a barrel, we were still producing 1 million barrels a day. And that's incredible. From 10 years ago, we were not even doing 100,000. So what that told me was even at $30 and $40 and $50 a barrel, at least we're still having activity. Whether they're making money or not, I don't know. You understand the idea of momentum versus not having wells, because trying to get all the guys back and trying to get that momentum going again costs a lot more than sometimes just keeping the momentum going. But what he said was, he goes, you know, the Bakken kind of is like a rock. You kind of know what you're getting there. You know your price points really well. You know your sweet spot. You know your fringe zones. And I thought that was a great way to put it, you know, type of a thing. With that being said, and with your actual geographical location of Continental Resources, what do you make of that the Bakken is kind of a safe, steady, old shoe eddy type of a thing? And then talk to me about a little bit about Continental Resources and how they view it.
Well, actually, the number one, I agree with his analysis. It is a sort of an old shoe that we sort of know how it fits. And the technology, like I say, the wells are getting better day after day. And the other thing about the Bakken that concerned me, well, everybody in almost every play initially, is your takeaway, your pipelines, the ability to get stuff out of there, the flaring that you had to do because you didn't have a pipe. But the takeaway in the Bakken area has gotten much, much better. So when you drill a well, you can get the oil sold, you get the gas, you know, taken care of, and the regulators aren't going to shut you in for flaring. So that's real positive. Going on the Continental, I don't follow them closely from an investment standpoint. However, just strategy-wise, number one, I think it's an excellently managed company. Number two, I think they're well-positioned. Number three, I think if you look in the past at what they've done, I mean, you just have to be impressed with the company, with the leadership, with everything else. And I, you know, if I, that is one company that, I mean, again, this is my personal view. You know, if you want to look at the Bakken as an investment, they were somebody I would look closely at and evaluate. And of course, make your own call. But, you know, from what I've seen, I've been impressed.
But even from, take the investment side out of it, I guess I was looking at it more from just, I would think through sheer osmosis of industry, you would know quite a bit about their activity. For example, I spoke with, what's his name? I think Warren Henry, and he was talking about the scoop stack play. You mentioned that. Then they opened up a big contract over to China, exporting oil outside of there. I guess I should rephrase that a little bit differently. How much involvement with the university systems and some of these oil and gas administrative type of the things they run from the state, like you're involved with, is Continental involved with? I would think that they would be from a technological standpoint, from the legal standpoint, that sort of thing. Are they pretty much? Because they seem to be a leader in a lot of areas.
Well, I know they're a big supporter of the University of Oklahoma, and I really have not been directly involved with them, but I do know, and part of it is there is a lot of technological transfer where you, I mean, University of Oklahoma has, you know, a fantastic engineering school, a fantastic landman school, and, you know, you're looking for talent, and such an engineering talent, and you have a study of how you best complete in the Bakken. And, you know, every well, let me tell you, an executive told me about 5 years ago when this all started, actually down in Dallas, and he said, you know, every well is like baking a cake. Everybody's going to bake it a little differently, and your recipe is going to change over time because the length of the well, you know, how many stages you have, how much sand you use, how much fluid you use, what type of additives you use, you know, it all depends, and it's extremely complex when you figure out you want the ultimate completion, so it gets to be very technical, and so you go to a university.
And that was Joe Dancy, Executive Director for the Oil and Gas Natural Resources and Energy Center with the University of Oklahoma. To listen to the full-length interview or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media. Links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
Music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in the sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Soft and warm, yeah. Hey, yeah.
few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, our social media segment here at the Crude Life Media Network, where we talk about events, jobs, maybe even a Mythbusters segment from time to time. What's happening on social media? Well, that's what we talk about right here on the social media segment. And today we're going to talk with Tiffany Steiner with the North Dakota Petroleum Council and Christy Baumgartner with Wyoming Casing, not about their respective companies, rather the API Gumbo Cook-Off that's coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. This is a great time. I was a part of the event last year, so I do know how exciting it is, how much charity is being done as the energy companies come together so that scholarship money can be raised as well as raise money for the local community. I did hear something about a bake sale, so we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off happening in Dickinson, North Dakota with Tiffany Steiner, Christy Baumgartner, and this is our social media segment here on the Crude Life Media Network.
Sponsors, do you guys have your sponsors locked up? Are you looking for more sponsors? Talk to me about who's involved with allowing this 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off to happen.
Well, we're always looking for more sponsors. We have very generous companies in the community that help put on this event. Well, we can always use some more. So if there's anyone out there who would like to help sponsor the event, we always welcome more sponsors. And again, you can contact us through API on Facebook or through the website that we mentioned. Or you can contact Tiffany and Christy via cell phone if you have our cell phones, or Wyoming Casey and MEPC. Definitely contactable through there.
That's one thing I love about the oil and gas industry is, you know, we're on like 30 radio stations and probably half the people do have your cell numbers.
I believe they do.
Well, it just shows you, really, I mean, because the oil and gas world is as large geographically as it is, it really is a pretty tight-knit community, isn't it, guys?
It's amazing how much the oil and gas community comes together to support communities that they're in. Everyone pulls together to support the people and the communities within they work. It truly is amazing. It's one big happy family.
All right, so let's wind up here a little bit and What do the companies compete for, by the way? I know that Bakken Barbecue, you guys do a trophy, that sort of thing. I can't remember. What are people competing for during the API Gumbo? I know it's for a greater cause, but there's always, you know, some sort of, you know, a little symbolic trophy or symbolic bragging rights, if you will.
I was going to say mostly it's the bragging rights, but yes, we do have trophies. For the cooking teams and for those of us that have teams, we like to spread around the bragging rights, but there are monetary things that are handed out, prizes, but there's also trophies handed out for first, second, and third, and then for also people's choice.
Okay, people's choice. Okay, let's just kind of summarize really quick here, and in terms of the dates, times, all those different things, and if you guys are, if there's any prizes or anything along those lines, so... go ahead and just kind of summarize the event, and go ahead.
So it is the 21st Annual API Gumbo Cook-Off, Saturday, February 17th, at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. It's $10 admission with all-you-can-eat gumbo, and we also have a 50-50 raffle for $10 a ticket. It starts at 6:30 for public taste testing until it's done. And then the band at 8:30, Thunder Road will be performing.
Thunder Road at 8:30, okay. All right, let's take just a couple seconds and take the API hat off for a second, put on the Bakken Barbecue hat, and give us some quick information on that. I know you guys have the dates handy, that sort of thing, and are you guys looking for sponsors? You got that kind of wrapped up here? You got 30 seconds, a minute you can talk about the Bakken Barbecue?
Of course, I always have 30 seconds for the Bakken Barbecue. This year's Bakken Barbecue is June 15th, and we're always looking for sponsors. We're really excited. It's our 6th annual. We have a Southern barbecue theme this year. I think it's going to be a great time. Last year we maxed out at, I think, 22 companies. So we're going to see what this year brings us. We're excited, and we always have a fun time giving back to Make-A-Wish.
Southern barbecue theme, huh? Boy, the sweet tea is going to be flowing that day.
It is.
And that was Tiffany Steiner with the North Dakota Petroleum Council and Christy Baumgartner with Wyoming Casing. They're representing the API Dickinson about the 21st annual API Gumbo Cookoff. To listen to the full-length interview or to listen to other social media segments here at the Crude Life Media Network, check out our website, thecrudelife.com, thecrudelife.com. All of our social media updates and links are available at thecrudelife.com. Of course, the two people that we did interview are part of our social media network. So as we everly expand our social media network, we invite you to be a part of it too. All of those links, of course, like I said, are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio Herd on the Crude Life Media Network.
Memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea cloud. And all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
There are days when I feel lost and separated. And every step I take falls on foreign ground. And I feel like going back to North Dakota. Take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides. And I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides. Where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of a wintertime city clouds.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric. And we were talking, and this community leader said, you know, United Way, what's your connection there? And Eric said, you know, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, you know, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.